through the housekeeping again. I'd like to point out that on your table in front of you, you will have a sweet. Hands up who's already eaten theirs. Shame. These sweets were given to me by a Zamosh. It was a present of 60-odd sweets, and I consider that I'm going to, in this year, eat far more than I should do anyway. So it's a little present from Zamosh for everybody. They are delicious, as some of you already know. I would now love to run through the housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recordings will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulation, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. If you are curious why councillors are looking at the screens, at some screens on the desk, it is because a number of them are using the tablet devices to access their agenda papers instead of using paper copies. I would also like to remind councillors that the other people attending the meeting, that the fire exits are to the rear and to the side rooms. There are no fire alarm tests planned for the evening. Could I also ask everyone to turn off their mobile phones or switch them to silent so the meeting is not disturbed? Thank you. Item one, apologies. Apologies have been received. Sorry. Oh, fallen at the first hurdle. Oh, sorry. Oh, he will get me back, I know. So I will call, I will now ask my chaplain, Reverend Tim Day, to say prayers.
Well, Madam Mayor, I will still speak to you, so that's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, councillors, I must confess this feels a little bit like a home from home on a Sunday morning. And if you put a vicar in a pulpit, the danger is that they could get a little bit preachy. So if I do, I apologise in advance. It's a bit of an occupational hazard. As this is the first time I've had the privilege of speaking at the start of a council meeting, I thought I would just introduce myself very briefly. As Madam Mayor has said, my name is Reverend Tim Day, and I'm originally from South Manchester, and I became a Christian at the age of 15 at a very ancient medieval church in Cheadle in Cheshire, which had a youth group of over 200 people. Leicester, my association with Leicester began when I came here to study at Leicester Polytechnic, now of course De Montfort University. On leaving Leicester Polytechnic, I was a builder's mate for about a year or so, working renovating terraced houses in Leicester. And then I moved to Hatfield and became an aircraft repair and design engineer and certification engineer, first with British Aerospace, and then I moved back to East Midlands Airport and worked for Hunting Aviation for a few years. And then lately, before I became a vicar, I was working for Siemens as an engineering IT consultant. I was ordained as a Church of England minister in 2010 at Leicester Cathedral, before it was quite as famous as it is today, and became a full-time vicar in 2010, looking after the churches, primarily in Thurmaston and East Goscote. It's a privilege for me to be here this evening to speak for just a few minutes. It's something that as an engineering consultant I would never have dreamed I would have the opportunity to do. So, Madam Mayor, thank you for this opportunity. Well, this evening I wanted to speak just a little bit about service. And I started by looking on the Charnwood Borough Council website. The opening title says, as you would imagine, "Welcome to Charnwood Borough Council. How can we help you today?" That word help, I think, can easily be interchanged with serve. As you look down the rest of the website, there are sections on housing and homelessness, on benefits and entitlements, on the grants that Charnwood offers, on health, well-being, social care, parks, open spaces, museums and heritage. There are many others that I haven't named. But they are, I believe, all examples of how this Borough Council serves the residents and visitors to our very many communities by meeting needs, enabling people to flourish, building community, enabling people to enjoy leisure time and facilitating places for exercise. Now, I know we may differ on the best way that the service others can be organised and prioritised. Otherwise, there wouldn't be the healthy and lively debates that I'm sure you're going to enjoy over the next year. But to me, it is clear that Charnwood Borough Council is an organisation that exists primarily to serve others. Service of others is, as you might expect, a key theme in faith groups and in non-religious groups too. And I represent just one of those, the Christian faith, and in particular the Church of England. In the Bible, we find the theme and call to serve in many places. And I just want to share just a few thoughts about that. From Mark's Gospel, Jesus often spoke to his disciples, and particularly when disputes broke out, as to who would have the best seat in heaven. He replied, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is reinforced in a quote from Matthew's Gospel. "The greatest amongst you will be your servant." I believe Jesus sets out a pattern of service through leading by example. And it was an example that St. Peter, perhaps one of the closest and loyalist disciples of Jesus, and I can think, I can add, that when he eventually got it, he wrote about this idea of serving others in his letter to the church. When he said, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Service is at the heart of the Christian faith and of other many religious and non-religious groups. To me, it seems like it's something that we inherit in our humanity when humanity is at its best. And just to finish with this thought, and of course, this is just my perspective as a Christian minister, but as Bishop Desmond Tutu once said to a similar gathering in the United States, he said to them, "God sees what you are doing here in serving others and smiles because it is very close to God's heart." Of course, my prayer for this coming year is for a productive and a successful year ahead for this council as you continue your work of service to others in our communities. Thank you for listening.
Right, item one is apologies. The first one to apologise is me for missing Tim out to start with. So other apologies are Councillor Palin, Lowe and Honorary Alderman Bush and Stott. If councillors have any other apologies, please press your button to indicate. Thank you. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. I will now call upon the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interest in the business to be considered at this meeting, which has already been made by councillors.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've received no disclosures, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I've already done that. Right, councillors, please indicate by pressing your buttons whether you have any interests to disclose in the business to be considered this evening. Thank you. I am now moving to minutes, item three. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the council held on the 20th of May 2019 be confirmed and signed.
I second this, Madam Mayor.
I am now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Announcements. I would like to mention that Michael Hopkins, Democratic Service Officer and previous Manager of Democratic Service Team, last council meeting, as he is hot-footing it over to the planning team this Wednesday. Michael has worked with the team for several years, providing advice, knowledge and support for his colleagues and councillors. The Democratic Services team loss is planning's gain. Congratulations to Michael. We will all miss you. I call on the leader to make his announcement.
Madam Mayor, on the 20th of June 2019, I made a leader's decision confirming the reappointment of Councillor Hilary Fryer as the Armed Forces Member Champion until May 2023.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan. 4.3, Chief Executive's announcement. I call upon the Chief Executive to make his announcement.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements, Madam Mayor.
Item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? Thank you. Item 6, business reserved to the council. So 6.1, appointment of co-opted parish members of the member conduct team. I call upon Councillor Poland to propose this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, to confirm two appointments and to fill one vacancy on the committee which provides the opportunity for parish town councillors to contribute to the work of the Member Conduct Committee, I move that Councillor Victoria Vicky Ball, a member of Anstey Parish Council, and Dennis Marchant, a member of Quorn Parish Council, be reappointed as non-voting co-opted parish members of the Member Conduct Committee for a period of 4 years or until they cease being a parish councillor, whichever is the sooner. That Councillor Julie Jones, a member of Sileby Parish Council, be appointed as a non-voting co-opted parish member of the Member Conduct Committee for a period of 4 years or until she ceases to be a parish councillor, whichever is the sooner.
I second this proposal.
If you'd like to speak, please press your buttons now. I call on Councillor Poland to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing further to add.
Against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. 6.2, election fees and expenses for 2019-20. I call on Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to ensure an approved scale of fees can be applied in respect of any borough or parish council elections which take place during the 2019 to 2020 period, I move the recommendation set out on page 22 of the agenda.
I second this, Madam Mayor.
If any councillors would like to speak, please press your buttons now. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I would just like to ask the leader of the council why we have this report here this evening. which requires council approval. Yet Labour Group submitted a position statement for tonight, which is item 8 on the agenda, which reads, no requests for position statements were received. So I'd like to know why we approved this report, yet the subject that we wanted the position statement on was to do with the arrangements of the count, which to me is electoral matters still, and how the money was spent. But we will refuse that, Madam Mayor. I don't know if Councillor Morgan can reply, but I would just like to put that on record. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's under our constitutional requirements as set out in the Constitution, but by all means, please, if you have any additional queries on top of that, by all means, talk to the Chief Exec, who is also the Returning Officer.
I call on Councillor Morgan to sum up.
Madam Mayor, you are a hard taskmaster. I have nothing else to add.
Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? Motion carried. Thank you. Item 7, call in reference. There are no call in reference from scrutiny. Swiftly on to item 8, position statements. No requests for position statements have been received. Now we move to item 9, motions on notice. There is one motion on notice on the agenda, on pages 27 to 28. Climate change, 9.1. As a reminder, motions in this form can be debated and voted on by the council. The normal rules of the debate apply, so councillors may speak for up to 3 minutes and amendments may be moved. I call on Councillor Vardy to propose his motion.
Madam Mayor, councillors, thank you. This is a motion on climate change, and this is, goes as follows. That this council notes the International Panel on Climate Change published a report in October 2018 which concluded that we have less than 12 years to act to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. The report describes the enormous harm that a 2% rise in global temperature is likely to cause compared to a 1.5-degree rise. It told us that limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees may still be possible with ambitious action across all national governments that signed the Paris Agreement. On the 12th of June this year, the UK government amended its target under the 2008 Climate Change Act to reach a net zero greenhouse gases by 2050, the first major nation to agree to this target, and which accords with the Paris Agreement's aim to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade. Charnwood Borough Council adopted its climate change strategy in 2018, which sets out how the council will address the issue. The climate change strategy contributes to the council's corporate plan aim to take action to protect the environment for future generations. A carbon management plan was approved by Cabinet in December 2015 to reduce the council's impact on climate change. The council's progress so far represents a 32% decrease in its own emissions since 2012-13. Charnwood Borough Council works through its existing climate change strategy to enhance its existing carbon management plan and green impact policies and support new ones, such as to get 100,000 trees planted over the next 4 years. And that this council notes that it can only operate within its own scope of control of influence. There is a need to balance the competing demands on its decrease in resources and finances. Not all the technological solutions nor the required powers and resources are currently in place, and that this council will aim to achieve carbon neutrality from its own operations by 2030, and accordingly requests officers to undertake a detailed plan of action and report back to the Carbon Management Board. And finally, that this council, as a key place leader, also commits to work with residents, businesses and other public bodies across the borough and region to deliver this ambitious goal through all relevant technologies, strategies and plans. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor, I second this motion and reserve my right to speak.
If any councillors would like to speak, please press your buttons now. Laura Needham.
As the first Green Party councillor ever elected to this chamber, I of course welcome this motion and anything that can be done to address the climate emergency in which we find ourselves. I am, however, concerned that this motion does not go far enough. Firstly, could the lead member please clarify whether this motion commits the council's subcontractors to also achieve carbon neutrality by 2030? If it does not, then with so many of our services contracted out, the motion cannot achieve its stated aims. Secondly, I would also like this council to commit to updating its local planning guidance to demand the highest of energy efficiency standards in all new builds as a minimum. The motion says that we can only operate within our own scope of control and influence. Both of these measures are very much within our own control and influence. It is only through a holistic approach to operations that we can achieve carbon neutrality by 2030. Thirdly, Madam Mayor, the motion makes reference to the Council's financial situation. The lead member will, of course, be familiar with the Stern report, which provides ample evidence that the less we do now to avert the worst impacts of climate breakdown will, in the long term, cost us far more financially than anything we spend now. To invest in preventative measures today will save this council and its taxpayers millions in the future. I do welcome this motion, but I believe that it could be strengthened significantly. From now on, every decision that this council makes must be weighted against the impact on climate breakdown. Our house is on fire and we have no time to waste before we start to put out the flames.
Thank you. Councillor Brennan.
Madam Mayor, on behalf of the Labour Group, I move that the council amend the proposed motion, asserting additional phrases that appear italicised on the green paper before you. I would like to thank Councillor Vardy for bringing this motion to Council. It's not a moment too soon. As referenced in the original motion, in October 2018, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change reported that avoiding global climate chaos will require a major transformation of society and the economy, and that is unprecedented in scale, and warned that we have only until 2030 to avert disaster. It's for this reason that the Labour Group is compelled to propose amendments to the motion that will put averting climate disaster at the heart of all we do. First of all, we would ask that this Council declares a climate change emergency. You may ask what difference this one phrase makes in and of itself. We would ask, how can this phrase be omitted? Madam Mayor, it's clear that the situation we face is an emergency. When the UK Parliament, at least 90 councils across England and Wales, including our counterparts at Leicestershire County Council and our neighbours in Rushcliffe, have declared a climate change emergency, why would we, Charnwood Borough Council, choose to omit this obvious truth? What would such an omission say about this council's conviction that we must act and its commitment to meeting head-on this unprecedented challenge? The Labour Group believes that the Council's climate change motion should illustrate this Council's robust and ambitious approach to taking its share of responsibility for tackling climate change. We understand that there must be caveats, that this Council can only act within its own remit and using the technology currently available. We question why the original motion contains more caveats than commitments to action. We ask that this Council puts climate change at the heart of all it does and makes a robust commitment to delivering carbon neutrality in all its operations, including those delivered by others on our behalf, by 2030. An aim can too quickly become an ambition. A commitment is just that. To conclude, If I may paraphrase the Member of Parliament for Loughborough, Nicky Morgan, when she addressed the One Nation Conservative group last month, the people of the UK know that climate change is an emergency, and young people are desperately worried about the future of the planet they will inherit. Decarbonising an economy doesn't mean it has to stop growing. Let's get on with it. Thank you.
Does this amendment have a seconder?
I'd like to reserve the right to second. I second the motion.
Right. Anybody who wants to speak further on the amendment, will you please press your buttons now? You have reserved your right, Councillor Ward, to speak now. Right. Can I? I can't see that writing. You've got to have it in black so I can see it. Not that. So, is it Bull Baldwin, please?
Second, the amendments of the inserting a minimum of 100,000 trees. We've lost a great number of trees in Garendon along the A512 that have been chopped down. We're likely to lose a lot more with the development in the Garendon Park area and also in the Science Park. So a minimum of 100,000 trees doesn't sound a great deal at this particular time.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just like to point out, first of all, factually, it's not the international panel, it's the intergovernmental panel. And that really does need amending through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Varda. I understand this has gone out from Conservative headquarters to all Conservative leaders and lead members, and is being used up and down the country, Madam Mayor. It is difficult for any council to take these measures. It is important, it's an emergency, and therefore we should do as much as we can. I'd make the point, though, following on from the previous councillor, if you look at the Junction 23 and the 512 and Snell's Brook Lane, which I believe is actually Shepshed, not Garendon, you will see the dozens of trees that have been chopped down in the last few weeks. It takes, in a lifetime, a tree will remove 1 tonne of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. But by building one house alone, it takes 50 tonnes of CO2 to produce. And if you're looking at the Garendon development, where they're looking at building 3,200 houses, multiply that by 8, that makes out the sum of 25,600 tonnes of CO2. Our house building alone for this council is adding to our 2030 target every 6 months. It is going to be a difficult task. And that's why we need recommendations and actions, which is not in the motion, which is what is in the amendment that the Labour group have put together. Everything in the Labour amendment is possible and doable. And I would urge Council, all Council, to support this very important issue, which is being taken very seriously, particularly by the younger generations concerned about the future of this planet, Madam Mayor. So I support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you,
Councillor
Draycott. Councillor
Mercer. Thank you, Madam Mayor. It was only 2 months ago that the Labour councillors were all standing on a platform of doing anything but talking about the climate, which wasn't actually mentioned in their manifesto, but instead they were going to rejuvenate the town centre through not only additional parking, but free parking. So they were going to encourage car use in Loughborough. They're also going to build even more houses. They were going to build a new village, which, as Councillor Draycott rightly says, pumps a lot of CO2 in the atmosphere. So, Madam Mayor, I'm not absolutely convinced about the sincerity of this sudden change of heart from hardened socialists to eco-warriors in just 8 weeks.
Councillor Mayer.
Firstly, I'll welcome Councillor Vardy for bringing this the main motion to the council chamber. It is very important. We saw the demonstrations in Loughborough Town Centre. I don't think if councillors are aware, but we had youngsters from the local schools out in the town centres protesting, especially when the events in London were happening and after. But we had a look at the motion. It's a shame, really, that it didn't come to us before, and we have to amend it to make it stronger. You'd think a motion like this would be cross-party, and everybody would be involved. So when we saw it in the pack, we were a bit thinking, especially a few weeks ago in Leicestershire County Council, the Labour Party, the Liberal and the Conservatives, we all came together and we had a joint motion. And we all supported that joint motion. And we worked it out so we wouldn't have to have an amendment in that council. It didn't happen here. So we thought we haven't taken anything away from the motion. We've strengthened it and we've wanted to make sure that it is actually deliverable and also targeted as well. So we put in the suggestions here. And I think all councillors of all parties here, and I welcome the Green member who's been recently elected, but we have a duty, and we have our duty to our residents. But let's be honest with ourselves. We're not going to change the world on our own, okay? But we need to be a part of something bigger and to be seen to be a part of a greater movement. And by agreeing to this amendment and this motion, we take the necessary steps here in Charnwood. And the first thing that you can do, and any step, and which isn't in the motion, but we're putting it in our amendment, is that this council declares that there is a climate emergency. And we're honest with ourselves that it is, and honest that, enough to say that councils and governments throughout the UK, but also the world, are taking this serious step. We don't want to labour this too much. That's why we don't have many speakers. But we say, we've brought it forward. We've not taken anything away. We've just added it to strengthen it. And I think you should support this amendment. Thank you.
There's nobody else in the queue as the seconder, and you reserved your rights. Would you like to sum up, please? Would you like to sit down, Councillor Ward, please? Okay, can you be a bit quicker on the buttons, please? Can I speak to Councillor... can I call Councillor Bradshaw?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to say, I support this amendment, and I'm pleased that this motion, obviously from Councillor Vardy, came, and that we are able to actually add some substance to it, some more substance to it. Climate change is real, and when we talk about it being an emergency, just let me put another angle on it. As most of you know in this room, I'm an open water swimmer, and not so long ago, an adventurer called Lewis Pugh. He swims just in trunks without anything else on, goggles, and he swims at the in the poles where all the polar bears are. It just shows how climate change is an emergency, because you've got the polar bears dying. People in one day could never have swum in those waters. So I would urge that we actually support this amendment and say, declare that it is an emergency. Thank you.
I call on Emma Ward.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank all the colleagues who've already contributed on this important discussion, and Councillor Vardy for bringing the motion, which I think is long overdue for the Council. It's obviously an issue that many members are passionate about, including myself. Just to give you some background on why I'm supporting the amendment to the motion, which is a valuable motion in itself. Anyone who knows me knows how passionate I am. I'm a vegetarian, I share an allotment, I recycle, I avoid single-use plastic where I can, I use environmentally friendly products, I ran a campaign on plastic straws last year, but it doesn't really matter what we do as individual consumers if larger organisations aren't prepared to come on board and take the steps necessary to commit, because as individuals, anything we do is a drop in the ocean, which is why it's so important to use the right language when we're talking about a climate emergency, and that is what it is. It may seem a matter of a few words not making that much difference, but as a linguist and translator, I can tell you that words are very important, and the right words convey the right message, which is why I think it's important that we add that sentence about a climate emergency and why we use the word commit instead of aim. Those are the important things that we've added to your motion. As Councillor Mear said, we haven't taken anything away. We've just added those important things that I think if you check on the Climate Emergency website, you'll find all of the other councils whose motions are on that website have that sentence at the beginning of all of their motions. My 8-year-old son is an ardent recycler, and he's an eco-warrior at his primary school. They collect crisp packets and send them off to be recycled. If we don't commit now, then we are leaving a legacy of complacency for that generation, and it will be too late by 2030 for them to do anything about it. We can't turn the clock back then, so it's important that we do everything we can to act now, which is why I'm supporting the amendment to the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Semantics comes to mind here. Just playing with particular words against the original and my motion. Climate change isn't just happening now. An emergency is something that's immediate and happening now. Climate change is something that happened in the Industrial Revolution many, many years ago. And it's growing forward and it's gathering strength. This council has been working on climate change now. 2013-14, we started working on our plan. We have had a carbon reduction. You've already heard that this council has reduced its carbon output footprint by 32%. We're ahead of its target. If you looked and read the original motion, it talks about preparing an action plan, if you like, for this council to work on. This is not a plan in its own today. This is more of a strategic approach to show how we're going to achieve our aims in reducing this council's carbon footprint. Having said that, I'm not going to go through it all line by line of what you said. We seem to be generally in accord, but at this moment in time, I don't accept your amendment. Thank you.
Vote needs a seconder. It's not too late. No time limit on it, I'm afraid. So we'll record a recorded vote on this amendment only. May I remind you, it's on the amendment only. And the amendment is on the green paper.
Councillor Bailey. Councillor Baines. Councillor Barclay. Councillor Bentley. Councillor Boker. Councillor Baldwin. Councillor Bolton. Councillor Bradshaw. Sorry, Councillor Simon Bradshaw, forgive me. Councillor Julie Bradshaw. Councillor Brennan. Councillor Brooks. Councillor Capleton. Councillor Charles. Councillor Harper Davis. Councillor Draycott. Councillor Forrest. Councillor Fryer. Councillor Goddard. Councillor Grimley. Councillor Haji Nicolaou. Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Keith Harris. Councillor Christine Harris. Councillor Howe. Councillor Hunt. Councillor Mercer. Councillor Meir. Councillor Morgan. Councillor Murphy. Councillor Needham. Councillor Pacey. Councillor Parsons. Councillor Parton. Councillor Poland. Councillor Popley. Councillor Radford. Councillor Ranson. Councillor Rattray. Councillor Rollings. Councillor Savage. Councillor Seaton.
Abstain.
Councillor Smidowitz.
Against.
Councillor Shepherd. Councillor Snart. Against. Councillor Tassel.
Against.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Vardy.
Yes.
And Councillor Ward.
The results were 14-4, 34 against, 1 abstention and 3 apologies, 3 absences. Proposal has lost. I want to now refer to the substantive Motion, please. And Mr. Councillor Morgan reserved his right to speak. Thank you. Oh, right, so I've got to open the queue first. Thank you. So if any councillors would like to speak before Councillor Morgan, will you press your buttons now, please? Councillor Mir.
Mayor, it's disappointing that a well-drafted, thought-out Labour amendment declaring a council climate emergency, has been lost, and it's been lost because Conservative members couldn't swallow their pride and support it. And it's a shame, really. But a motion on climate change is a motion on climate change, and I urge the 14 members who supported the amendment to actually now go ahead and support this motion, because something, even watered down as it is better than nothing. And I think we should move forward as a council, work with the Conservatives, and make sure that the policies that we draft, the contracts that we give out, are watertight, and make sure that the public know that we're on their side when things, matters of climate change, are being discussed at this council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am delighted with this. I think what possibly councillors on this side don't know, for many years, before it became fashionable, we've had a carbon management board. We have actually worked hard to do this. I disagree with you. I think individual action counts a lot. If we don't act individually as a group of people throughout the whole world, the future for other generations is in jeopardy. I think it's easy to come up. We believe in actions, not tampering with words here. I'm passionate about climate change. It isn't just giving yourself a label. We are concerned for our residents. We are concerned for future generations. It is very important we do this. I am on the Carbon Management Board. I strongly support our motion that has gone forward. To simply stand and tamper with words and put no motion forward yourself and then say that this is something we've thought out, there's very little thought gone out on your side, not even to the extent of what the impact is, what we have done before. We have been working on this for years, and I find it absolutely infuriating that people come to this chamber tonight intimating that we do not care about climate change. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. We are passionate about it.
Until you called, please. Thank you. Councillor Parton.
Thank you very much. Apologies, Madam Mayor. Whilst I would not want for a nanosecond us to be complacent, but some figures which show how well Charlborough Council has done so far, as Councillor Vardy alluded to earlier on, that since 2012-2013, Charlborough Council has seen a 32% decrease in its carbon emissions. When you consider similar authorities, Leicester City Council says that its carbon footprint's reduced by 37% since 2009 and citywide by 44% since 1990. So that is merely to say how well we have done thus far. Now, one thing I would strongly suggest to you, should you want an incredible, insightful morning or afternoon's education, is book an appointment with either Charlborough Council's tree warden, or if you're a Leicestershire County Council member, the warden from Leicestershire County Council. What I learned about trees in 2 hours was absolutely incredible, and it was an absolute revelation, and I never thought, I was ashamed I knew so little about trees. So I'm passionate about the 100,000 planting. I did a count last week to see that 8 are planned to come down in Southfields due to tree preservation order cuttings and non-tree preservation cuttings for notice only. That upsets me now. Perhaps 2 weeks ago it wouldn't have done. So I'm looking at a target now of 100,008 and I'll be reviewing that every week. And I'm sure, as I say, we've also got to work with private industry, with house builders, with schools. We only have to look at the pollution around schools in the morning. Absolutely dreadful. So we have a big job to do. But given that the sentiment of a 32% decrease already is hope that we have the integrity to follow through with our words.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm stunned, really, that you say that you're supportive of climate change, that you're serious about climate change when you couldn't support the amendment. It's shameful, frankly. You say nothing about working with our contractors, and that is... We're never going to achieve climate change in Charnwood unless our contractors also are serious about this. And you say nothing about working with our contractors. It's a real shame that you put party politics ahead of the environment.
Councillor Harris, Christine Harris.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Mayor. And welcome. I wasn't going to say anything about this because I have, for most of my life, been involved with the environment, and I think I've got a pretty good record on all of that. I was disturbed, Councillor Barclay, about the word fashionable. I heard you at the onset of your little speech. And I was even more disturbed at your phrase about tampering with words. My life, I have not ever tampered with words when we're looking at the environment. I have been extremely passionate all of my life about that. And I don't want to carry on this. So please don't use those words to us. About tampering with words, because that is disgraceful. I gave half of my mayor's charitable proceeds to the Woodland Trust. I chose something for people and also the environment in which they live. And so I was not tampering with words. I'm just saying we all need to take all of this very seriously and certainly not tamper with words. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Radford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going on from Christine Harris said that I set up the Shropshire Countryside Protection Group years ago, so I've been very much of an environmentalist. And I can assure you that every planning application that comes in front of Shropshire, I look at the trees and the hedges that are cut down. Michael might regret joining the development control because they get fed up with hearing from me, asking for tree preservation orders on. I scrutinise every planning application that comes in, and I'm the bane of the life of the planning officers because I check whether or not, yes, Councillor Vard is aware of how I am, checking that every hedge is up and not cut down, and if I see one cut down, I'm there like a shot. So, yes, and I do think we've got to look at things. And in my house, even my granddaughter now knows where every recycling box is in every room, so she daren't put anything in anything else. But, yes, we have got to look after the planet. And, as I say, I started the Countryside Protection Group well over 30 years ago, and I'm still part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Radford. Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Vardy says, we do seem to be roughly in accord on the principle of this thing. I just wanted to take issue with Councillor Tillotson's comment that this is shameful. I think what we've seen is, this side of the chamber, we put the commitment for 100,000 trees squarely at the centre of our manifesto. Indeed, it was at the Outwoods we had our manifesto launch. We've brought this motion here tonight, which is literally the first opportunity we've had, other than the formal annual council, which is obviously for other business. And nationally, I am proud to be a member of the party that has seen the longest period without reliance on coal this year since the Industrial Revolution. That is a real achievement. Okay, so what we're doing here are fantastic things which demonstrate the importance of the environment to us as a group and to us as a party. And far from being shameful, I think it looks like we're the only ones actually doing anything about it. Thank you.
Please do not press any buttons now. And Councillor Morgan.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Thank you also very much for all of those who have taken part in the amendment and also the main motion discussions. For all of those who took part in the amendment, so Councillor Muir said something at the beginning which I thought was quite interesting because it hasn't been said before, which is about coming forward where there are cross-party proposals to actually come forward. To be frank, it's the first time I ever heard Councillor Muir actually offer to come forward and propose discussions about motions before they're submitted, because certainly that hasn't been the case up till now. But by all means, I'm more than happy to actually see anything that comes forward. If there's any agreement on big issues, then that's a welcome proposal. It's the first time I've heard it, but it's always welcome. Likewise with amendments. Any time that you actually feel that you wish to discuss any amendments, doors always open, always welcome to actually talk to you. It's very straightforward, and it means that we can get away from actually accusing each other of things that quite clearly are not true. I look at this and I agree with Councillor Poland. There are two ways of approaching this. We can either talk about it with very, very nice words, or we can just get on, roll our sleeves up and get on and do it. And this is about getting on and just doing it. We have a commitment to 2030, carbon neutrality. Actually, that's the core of all of the things that were being described earlier on. That's the core date, carbon neutrality by 2030, and that's something that we're actually proposing as our target as well. And it's incredibly important that we actually recognise that that's a significant step forward for us as a local authority, but also us as councillors. We have, as a group, been committed to putting our approach, our response to climate change at the forefront of everything that we do. The carbon management plan that Councillor Vardy referenced earlier and has been referenced a couple of times is a key document, and I can challenge... I suspect there are many people around this room who haven't actually even picked up the copy to actually read it. Please do read it. It's a very important document. It gets debated at Cabinet repeatedly, and it's something that everyone on both sides of this chamber, on all sides of this chamber, need to pick up and read. Likewise, our carbon strategy as well. It's important that we get this right, not only for us as a generation, because actually our legacy is going to be so important to those that follow us, but also for our children and our grandchildren. If we do not get this right, we quite rightly will be seen as the generation that mucked it up, that actually ruined it for our children and generations to come. And I don't want to have that on my shoulders, to actually think that we had an opportunity but we didn't take it for the sake of a bit of party point scoring. This motion was put forward, as Councillor Poland quite rightly said, as early as possible within the programme. And I think that shows a commitment not only from us but also as this council for the next 4 years to actually get this right. Amendments have to be in line with the sentiment of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan.
Thank you.
I call on Councillor Vardy to speak.
Madam Mayor, councillors, first of all, just to mirror some of the words that Councillor Morgan has just said, that I indeed thank you all for taking part in this debate. It shouldn't really be political, really, should it? Sorry, I didn't interrupt you when you were speaking. So, I'm just going to carry on speaking, Madam Mayor. I just embrace what you've said and some of the things that you've said. Some of the minutiae, as I said, will be dealt with in plans coming forward when we actually get enhancements to our current carbon strategy. Just to rewind a little bit, any of you remember in February this year what the temperature was like? Because I remember sitting outside taking tea and it was 20 degrees. Recently, we've seen reports of our polar ice caps reducing, shrinking again, only this last week, about Iceland's glaciers reducing or shrinking. Yes, we have to do something about this, and this is the whole point of this. We've not buried our heads in the sands over the last few years. You've already heard that, so I'm not going to repeat all what Councillor Morgan has just said very eloquently, because you're all bright people and you understand it. We'll see in the future this country getting hotter and wetter as we go forward. None of us here live in a news vacuum, so you have seen and heard the news, the impact climate change will have on us all. And our way of life will change. You've heard this council has not buried its head to this fact. We've already talked about reducing our carbon footprint by 32%, well ahead of its 15% target. We've been implementing, and we have achieved this by implementing energy efficiency projects across the council, including our sheltered housing, our fleet, business boilers, lights, etc., etc. We're not stopped at that, though. We've got plans now, just feasibility plans, to actually put solar panels on the roof of Southfields. A big move, and we're working towards that to see if we can do it. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Councillors will already have had in place a carbon management board to oversee this project. You've heard that we've said about officers being tasked to come up with a plan. And I just think that it's something, and it's the right time now to step up a gear, if you like, to create further actions to support other counties, other countries, in reducing our carbon emissions. One of your members said, quite rightly, she's a vegetarian, and I applaud all the actions that you're taking. Me, I'm a vegan, and I think that animal agriculture, for instance, is something that we need to think about, what we consume, because animal agriculture is actually responsible for, is it 40 or 50% of our emissions, of our carbon emissions. So just something to think about in your diet, how you can help as individuals. Councillor, so I'm just going to implore you to support the motion, as you've already said so, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for all the words of support. And I, if not for our sake, it's for the sake of future generations. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I am now putting this motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? All those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. I did see a lot of people looking at the timer and wondering whether his time was up. Councillor Vardy was allowed 5 minutes for that speech. Thank you. I am now moving on to item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are the supplement pack. I will call on those councillors who have indicated that they wish to ask supplementary questions or make a statement. Supplementary questions or statements must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions or statements will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 2 minutes to ask their supplementary question and or make a statement, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak for up to 2 minutes. Item 10.1, rent arrears. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to make a statement and ask a question. I've raised this matter a number of times at Council. I'd like to thank the member for today's answer.
And as it clearly states, in the last year, the number of people who now receive universal credits has risen from 93 to 589. The total debt of tenants in receipt of universal credit has risen from 34,000 to 204,000. The average debt per tenant is up from 296 to £346. That means, for the first time, records show that the average level of debt for universal claimants is much higher than for everybody else, Madam Mayor, and clearly shows that the draconian welfare reforms are starting to hit in Charnwood, and that includes in the Hastings ward that I and Councillor Hamilton represent. Unfortunately, in the answer, the eviction figures for the last 3 years are not supplied. I'm feeling the only way I'm going to get that information is to put in a Freedom of Information request, Madam Mayor. Or, as my question is to say, whether the Cabinet lead would supply the number of evictions for each of the last 3 years and also supply the number of tenants who have handed in their keys for each of the last 3 years, because I think it will make for interesting information, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. Councillor Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no problem at all about that information being supplied. I think that the point is that if tenants who are already in arrears are being moved to universal credit, then logically the number of tenants receiving universal credit who are in arrears is going to increase. But this doesn't actually mean that the reason for that increase has anything to do with universal credit. If you actually look at the figures that have been presented in this response, if you look at the total arrears, they've actually dropped by 4%, yet the number of tenants on universal credit has actually doubled. And I know the concern about universal credit, and I've been asking the respective officers this question a number of times. And what I can say with absolute certainty is that not one single tenant has cited universal credit as a reason for ending their tenancy, and not one tenant has ever been evicted by Charnwood because of universal credit. And the reason for this, I believe, is that we've put a lot of effort into ensuring that universal credit has been implemented very smoothly in Charnwood. And it's a testament to the success of our financial inclusion and tenant support team headed by the very capable Andrew Staten that I think that is the reason for this success. Madam Mayor, these figures also reveal that the number of tenants in receipt of housing benefit during this period actually dropped by an incredible 9%. And I think that's an indication of the fact that unemployment in the UK is actually the lowest it's been for 45 years, and employment is now the highest that it's been on record. And, Madam Mayor, we are getting universal credit right in Charnwood, and the government is getting it right on the economy. Thank you.
Thank you. I now go to item 10.2, housing repairs. Councillor Keith Harris, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement? Yes,
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a further statement. My question was generally about communication or lack thereof between repairs contractors and the council and my residents. A couple in my ward had temporary work done in 2013 after other repairs, and I can only assume that they didn't ask for a permanent solution until their door became very, very drafty, and they had to ask for a permanent solution at that point. And the issue is why the job being added to the waiting list wasn't communicated to the residents for 2 months, despite their contacting the council. The officer, Martin Craig, gave three reasons: a change of contractor, a change of the IT system, and staff turnover. I suggested to him that while the last two reasons might cause problems, There should be ways to inform incoming staff of existing cases for a smooth transition. And he agreed with me completely. The leader states that communication could have been better, and I have to agree. I'm also happy that my intervention has expedited the work, but I hope that it will result in an improvement in transitions, which Martin Craig agrees is important. 244 complaints is indeed a small percentage of the total, but it is still 244 individual cases where the resident found the service inadequate for some reason. And maybe our aim ought to be to reduce that even further. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Can you please note, for in the future, I'm not happy and I will not accept officers' names being mentioned within this room. They have no right of reply here, and it was not necessary in this instance anyway. Thank you. 10.3. Councillor Mercer. Sorry, I got my gander up then, didn't I? Councillor Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I therefore apologise for mentioning the name of an officer, although I was actually praising that officer for the fantastic job that he did. On this occasion, I think that the written reply more than answers the point that Councillor Harris has raised, but I think the more general point that he makes is a legitimate question, and that when something does go wrong, it's something that I always ask myself, whether it's a random error or indicative of a symptomatic and deeper problem that we have. And, Madam Mayor, every month most lead members sit down with their chief officers and they look at how their department is performing. And in my case, whenever this happens, we look at the performance indicators. Sometimes, particularly in the winter when staff are ill, we do have problems. But in the summer where they don't have that excuse, I will always pick out individual problems and ask for the reason. And where there is a persistent number of problems occurring, we'll look at what changes to be made. Councillor Harris rightly says that there have been perhaps too many complaints, but it's how many complaints are upheld is more important as opposed to how many complaints are being made. But what I would suggest to members is that when they are alerted by one of their electors to a problem, that they raise it initially with the chief officer, and if they're not happy, then they go to the lead member and raise it with them. That's the correct way it works, and it certainly works with housing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I apologise then to Councillor Harris, because if I had listened hard enough to Councillor Mercer, I would have spotted that he mentioned an officer's name and I would have corrected him. So I do apologise. Right, we go on to item 10.3, election count. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A statement and a question, please. Earlier this evening, I mentioned the fact that the position statement that we requested was refused, yet we were approving a report on the agenda to do with the elections. The question I'd like to answer, I'm not sure which is the lead member who's going to reply, but in this month's One Charnwood that we've all received, its headline is that there has been an elections review, and the chief exec and the returning officer and all of the staff involved have all been able to have their say, and a lot of work has gone on. It does say, however, there is always room for improvement, etc. My question is, can members be included in this review, Madam Mayor? A simple email to each of us to ask for comments, I don't think is unreasonable and could be done quite quickly. That's my question. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. Councillor Morgan, do you wish to respond?
Madam Mayor, councillors are never backward in coming forward. By all means, please contact the Chief Exec, who is also the returning officer, at any point.
Item 10.4, medical training for council staff. Councillor Julia Bradshaw, Would you like to ask your supplementary question or make a statement?
Yes, please. Madam Mayor, I'd like to first of all thank the Cabinet League for the answer. I raise this matter basically to reassure all members that working out of hours and also any visitors too. It's reassuring now to know that it's on record and that out of hours staff are trained in first aid. My question, therefore, is about first aid training for members. I do know that at least one member in this room does have nursing experience. I feel that it's very important that all members be given the opportunity to take part in such first aid training. I know that some of us amongst us, whilst out in their wards, have had to respond to medical emergencies. Yes, obviously the priority is to ring 999, but whilst waiting for those emergency services, it can be a matter of life and death, and a member with first aid training could assist with this. Therefore, could this kind of training, please, for the members, be included in the list of trainings? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor, for your question. Very, very good idea. Yes, it's not something I thought about before, but you are quite right. It's something, obviously, that if we were able to offer it to anyone who wishes to take it up, could be a good thing. So I will most certainly talk to the relevant officers about looking at offering that.
Yeah. 10.5, social housing centenary. Councillor Tillotson, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make a statement?
So make a statement and then I've got a supplementary question. Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's not a coincidence that social housing legislation came the year after World War I ended. The war drew attention to the poor health of many recruits, poor health caused mainly by poor, overcrowded housing conditions. By 1933, 500,000 houses had been built, and the next big house building programme took place after World War II, and it's estimated that 1 million people moved from slums in the 1950s and 1960s. At this time, governments across the political divide understood the benefits of social housing, giving people, often for the first time, private indoor toilets, hot water, electricity, and, to my mind, very importantly, a garden. However, this changed in the 1980s with Right to Buy. By 1987, 1 million homes had been sold at highly subsidised rates, and many have inevitably been sold on, giving homeowners a substantial personal profit and, sadly, reducing the availability of homes for families in need. At the same time as Right to Buy was introduced, the government restricted council house building, so receipts from council house sales couldn't be used to buy or build more council houses. Housing Acts of 85 and 88 facilitated the transfer of council housing stock to housing associations, and in 2010, the government allowed housing associations to charge up to 80% of market rents, putting social housing out of the reach of many needy families. There's still a huge demand for social housing. Waiting lists are long and overcrowding is again becoming commonplace. Even though councils can now reinvest in housing stock, it's not enough to meet the demand. In 1979, 42% of British people lived in a council house. That fact surprised me, I have to say. But now, it's less than 8%.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm afraid Councillor Tillotson is actually mistaken, because the 1919 Housing Town Planning Act did not introduce national social housing. That particular act merely gave subsidies to local authorities to build 500,000 houses within 3 years, and in fact they built less than that amount. And the reason it was introduced was because of the 1915 Mortgage Restriction Act, which had undermined the incentive to build houses, state interfering in the private sector. That was the problem. It was, in fact, 19 years earlier that the Housing of the Working Classes Act allowed local councils the power to acquire land and build houses. That was the start of national social house building, not the 1990 Act. And Councillor Tillotson mentions right to buy, and if she's looking for something to celebrate, well, it's actually the 60th anniversary that the first time the right to buy was proposed. And that proposal suggested that, quote, every tenant will have the chance to buy from the council the house he lives in. And I quote from the 1959 Labour Party manifesto. They first proposed the right to buy. So certainly if Councillor Tillotson is in a celebratory mood, then perhaps we could have an anniversary to celebrate that. So, Madam Mayor, it's important to remember that it was actually a Conservative-led coalition government that first introduced social housing, and it was the Labour Party that first proposed the right to buy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mercer. Move to 10.8, Decent Homes Contract. Sorry, which one am I on? Oh, yes. I've turned the page without remembering I had. There you go. 10.6, Gender Pay Gap. Councillor Hamilton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a statement. So, first of all, I'd like to thank the lead member for the answer I received. I asked a question on gender pay gap a year ago, noting that Charnwood Borough Council had a gap of 17%, and asking what was being done about this. And I was told at the time an action plan was in place, it's being addressed, it's being looked at. This year's has come in at 17.6%. Now, the answer received did point out that the pay gap was below the national average. But, of course, you've really got to compare like with like. And if we look at ourselves at the neighbouring councils, we find that Hinckley and Bosworth has a gap of 2.5%, Blaby 2.3%, Leicester City Council 0% pay gap. The answer also stated that you can't guarantee reductions in gender pay gap over a single year, which is a factually correct statement. But we find that Leicestershire County Council, that had a pay gap of 20%, has more than halved it in a single year down to 9%. So it can be achieved. Now, the action plan, I'm told, is reviewed every 3 months, which is great, so it's tracked as the year goes on. So I would like to suggest that during that time, it might be of value if officers from this council simply talk to officers from neighbouring councils to find out if there's any actions that they have that we perhaps can learn from and might help us achieve the target that we seek. Because the recruitment and retention of good staff, male and female, I'm sure we all agree, is essential to get the council that we want. Because we're all fishing in the same kind of talent pool to get the best here. And very quickly, we have to be mindful, particularly when senior positions become available, although we want the best, there's always an opportunity to address the gender pay gap. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Hamilton, for your question. The reply is quite detailed, and a lot of the points that I would make are in there. But just to really highlight the thing about the gender pay gap, just make it clear it's not the same as an equal pay argument. So within our council, it's difficult to know. I simply don't know off the top of my head what services are outsourced in the councils that you mentioned. Those kind of issues are very important because obviously things that are contracted out are not included within our figures. Making a slightly more general point as well, it's true to say that a lot of the higher paying roles that we have are ones that typically, and I mean not just within Charnwood but nationally, attract more males than females to those roles. But having said that, obviously we, you know, officers I'm sure do talk to one another. Anything we can learn from colleagues, then absolutely. we would do that. But the reality is, as I say, that it is a snapshot at any one given moment in time. Without talking about specific officers, Madam Mayor, if we were to recruit a female chief executive, then that obviously would have an impact, and that would just be the way it is there. As I say, it is a snapshot at any given moment in time. The report talks about the fact that temporary workers had an impact on last year's figures. And as I said, not a huge amount more to add to the answer, really. But obviously, we asked this question last year, and if you want to have this conversation sort of off the record, sort of offline, then by all means, do talk to me.
Loneliness and social isolation in Charnwood. Councillor Parton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
The Royal College of General Practitioners state that 1.1 million British citizens are declaring to them presenting as lonely. But yet the campaign to end loneliness placed a real figure at over 9 million. And if you are lonely, your chances of a premature death increase by 50%, and that's as dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. For every £1 spent eradicating loneliness, £3 in health costs is saved. Now, government, researchers at universities, charities, and yes, councils in the UK understand how serious the problem is. But it is a complicated problem. For example, look at this interim report from the UK's leading researcher. So after attending three conferences on behalf of Charnwood as community cohesion champion, the time for talking is drawing to an end. And the three resolutions to start, I plead with you to take action on and think about and commit to are the following. Firstly, to acknowledge, just like the climate problems we've spoken about, that this is a serious epidemic. Secondly, to work together, non-political. And three, over this four-year term that we're serving, for us to deliver solutions that these experts suggest. Thankfully, the leader and the lead member have been very supportive to what I brought to them from these three conferences. So this is where we begin.
Actually, a question, or is it a non-question? It's about self. Here we go. congratulatory. Here we go. But I would like to ask if this really is a question for this stage of this meeting, please.
Question or make a statement. That's what the councillor was asked to do. Councillor Taylor, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I thank Councillor Parton for putting this on as a question for us to bring attention to the issues of loneliness and isolation that we're all very aware of. Within this borough, we do extremely good work with our community and voluntary sector. There's a lot of help out there, and I think as councillors, we all have a job to support our residents and to make sure we're signposting them to the help that's available within the borough.
Thank you. 10.8, Decent Homes Contract Settlement. The question and answer contains exempt information, and it is recommended that this question to be dealt with in a closed part of the meeting, following the exclusion of press and public. So I will go on to... Yes.
This is a question to yourself as Mayor and as Chair of the meeting. I just wanted to ask why this particular question was exempt from the public. Do you not think the public interest to know the contents of the answer far outweighs the administration's desire to keep it exempt? As an example, Madam Mayor, the first figure, the first figure is a figure. It doesn't have any context. It doesn't say how many of X or how many of Y. It's just a figure. So now that the settlement has passed and the date has passed, why do we need to keep that figure secret? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Right, I've just been informed that to get it into exempt session, you will make a vote on it. And at that time, we will vote on it. Okay, but we'll just follow the list at the moment, and then we will address that one when it comes to it. That's all right. Is that okay? What you said? Yeah. So 10.9, presentation of statistics. Councillor Mercer, would you like to ask your supplementary question and or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm more than happy with the response and won't say anything in case I get told off by Councillor Harris.
Okay. Councillor Poland, do you wish to respond?
No, not really.
Right. Item 11 is a minute reference. Reference to an exempt minute will be considered under item 16 on the agenda. I am now moving on to item 12, urgent executive decisions exempted from calling. This is a report to inform the Council of three decisions which were exempted from calling in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedures 11.9. If any councillor would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by pressing your buttons. Now moving on to item 13, changes to Cabinet responsibilities, page 37. This is a report to inform the Council of changes to the responsibilities of members of the Cabinet. If any councillors would like to ask a question on this item, please indicate your wish in doing so by pressing your buttons. Sorry, that was page 37. I didn't say. No? I'm now moving on to item 14, appointments to committees. I am not aware of any proposed changes to membership of committees for the current council year. If any councillors would like to propose a change, please press your button. I'm now moving on to item 15, exempt information. I move that members of the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items 10.8 and 16.1 on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 and 5 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972. And it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemptions outweigh the public interest in disclosing the information. You say we vote on it.
Yeah. Madam Mayor, I second this item.
Right, now we will... Yeah. Now we will go on to a vote about whether to treat this as an exempt item and remove the public from this chambers while we discuss. All those in favour? Councillor Mayer, sorry, you didn't press your button. Oh. No, if Councillor Mayer wants to speak, I'll listen to Councillor Mayer. Can you put your hands down for the moment? It's sorry, you hadn't pressed your button, Councillor Mayer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate you putting me in. Never before have I objected to exempt items, and I don't object to 16.1 being exempt. But I do object to question items on question notice, 10.8 being exempt, because I believe, Madam Mayor, that the public interest of knowing the settlement figure actually far outweighs the interest of it not knowing. And Madam Mayor, no justification has been given by anybody as to the reasons why, and I want to ask what is the reason why, because the settlement has happened in December. None of the context of why the settlement, the figure was reached, has been presented to us in this answer. It's just factual figures, and I believe the public interest of knowing these figures far outweighs as hiding them. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mayer. Adrian Ward will explain as to why.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as monitoring officer, my advice to councillors on the reason for the exemption is as set out in the top paragraph on the lilac sheets of F1. I'm not going to read it out because councillors can read it for themselves, but it does explain in that paragraph why we are recommending that the answer to question 10.8 be exempted.
Right, we will now go to the vote whether to treat this in as exempt information. Those in favour of the motion, please. Those against? Those abstentions? Are you abstaining? Okay. Well, I've asked the question. Come on. I want to do this now. Are you abstaining? All those abstaining? Thank you. The motion has been carried.